First, I would like to say that it's a great pleasure to be here in Shishi Radha Kalachanji Mandir. All the devotees, it's been quite a while since I've been here. Great pleasure to be back again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, text number 22. Asanga pajjayat kaman, krodham kama vibhajayat janat, atnate kshaya lobham, bhayam tattva vamarshanat asankalpat. By determination, jayat, one should conquer kamam, lusty desire, krodham, anger, kama vibhajanat. By giving up the objective of sense desire, artha, accumulation of wealth, anartha, a cause of trouble, ikshaya, by considering, lobham, greed, bhayam, fear, tattva, the truth, avamashanat, by considering. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. Everyone can please repeat. By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has suggested how one can conquer lusty desires for sense gratification. One cannot give up thinking of women, for thinking in this way is natural. Even while walking on the street, one will see so many women. However, if one is determined not to live with a woman, even while seeing a woman, he will not become lusty. If one is determined not to have sex, he can automatically conquer lusty desires. The example is given in this regard. The example given in this regard is that even if one is hungry, if on a particular day he is determined to observe fasting, he can naturally conquer the disturbances of hunger and thirst. If one is determined not to be envious of anyone, he can naturally conquer anger. Similarly, one can give up the desire to accumulate wealth simply by considering how difficult it is to protect the money in one's possession. If one keeps a large amount of cash with him, he is always anxious about keeping it properly. Thus, if one discusses the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, he can naturally give up business without difficulty. Easier said than done. Om Gyanat Mirandasya Ganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadahmahyam Dadati Swabarantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastyate Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivashari Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse begins with Asankalpa. Sankalpa is an activity that we should always perform. Actually, when one does a jagya, when one installs a deity, when one makes a vow in devotional service, there should be sankalpa, which means that we express the purpose. Even in performing devotional service, every day we should express to Krishna, that let me do this service, ahetuki patyata, without any motivations and without any interruptions. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that every activity must have sankalpa, must have a fixed purpose or goal. So Srila Prabhupada says here that sankalpa is determination, that determination by which anything can happen. So sankalpa jayat kama. If one is determined not to engage in sense gratification, then one will not do so. It's a question, what we call in modern language, of priorities. What are my priorities? If my priority is to do, using that same term, anasaktasya sankalpam, to do everything that is favorable for that Krishna desires, that is favorable for Krishna consciousness, even if I don't like it. No one in this world possessing a material body likes to give up the sense enjoyment, because sense enjoyment is included. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that without sense enjoyment, one cannot survive. One can sense enjoyment eating, for the procreation of society, from the time of the Prajapatis, Brahmaji, there is desire for union, man and woman, and so many different desires we need just to survive. But there must be a purpose. If the purpose of sense gratification, as is stated in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, that one should satisfy one's senses only to achieve that desired purpose, which is to preserve this body so that it can be our instrument for devotional service. That it can serve the purpose of jnana tattva, understanding the knowledge to free ourselves from this material world, then it's very easy. But if not, like nowadays, our senses are just bombarded by unlimited offers, and we subject ourselves to those offers. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Jayato Bishayan Bhumsam, Sangas Techu Bachayate, that if one meditates on the objects of the senses, otherwise, if we indulge in television, movies, this and that, all kinds of listening to this kind of music and that kind of entertainment, if we indulge, then there must be attachment. And from that attachment, asanga sanjayate kaman, there must be desires, one desire after another after another. So we can either subject ourselves to this bombardment of material offers, It's like if it's raining, one can walk out in the rain, or one can have an umbrella. And if you take an umbrella, then you won't get rained on, even though it's raining. So if we have our umbrella of Krishna consciousness, of the desire, our determination, my determination is to chant the holy name. My determination is to serve Krishna. It's like one time Srila Prabhupada was coming back from a program. It was in London. And so on the way, after the lecture, the devotees were praising Srila Prabhupada, how he was free from all material desires. And Prabhupada didn't say anything. But then when he got out of the car, he said, actually, I have so many desires. I just keep myself busy in Krishna service. Of course, we know that's not true. Srila Prabhupada had no desire except for serving Krishna. But he gave us the formula that keep so many things to do for Krishna. And but if we allow ourselves to be subjected to so many attractions in this material world, and we'll think, yes, so many things to do for Krishna next week, or tomorrow, next week, next year, and New Year's Eve, I'll make my resolution. This year, I'll only serve Krishna. But I'll just finish everything up now. So this is the determination we need to conquer material desire. And then the verse says, krodham kama bibarjana, that anger can be conquered. It uses again the word kama, vivarjana. Srila Prabhupada translates that as giving up envy. Because when material desire, as it progresses, we know the progression, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, matsarya, mada. This is the progression. Progressively, gets stronger. First there's some desire. Then if we don't get what we desire, anger. And then if by anger I can't eliminate the obstacle to my sense gratification, then I become more desirous of it. I become greedy, so desirous that I'll do anything to obtain it. And then moha, illusion. And then envy. Once I'm in illusion, once I'm trying to enjoy the illusory energy, then envy comes. So anyone else who has more than me, I become envious. And then at the end, one is tortured by so many material desires that mada, one becomes mad. Nowadays, we see so many things. Depression is stress. All these things are forms of madness that are inflicted on us because we're subjected to so many desires and so many difficult circumstances and anger and frustration and greed and so much illusion, envy, and then we become maddened. And if one doesn't become maddened, some people, before they become maddened, they madden themselves. Take intoxication, drinking, drugs, whatever, in order to simply look for some relief. Actually, madness is a defense mechanism of the material body and the material mind. Just to survive, one becomes mad, and somebody will take care of you. Can't take care of yourself anymore. So, this envy, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he spoke about these six enemies, saying that these are the actual six enemies. There's two kinds of six enemies. One is the five senses and the mind. And from the mind sprouts six more enemies, which are what we just mentioned. That lust, anger, greed, etc. So Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he says that there's a way that we can actually use all of these things. Because in the conditioned state, these things will naturally impose themselves upon us. So, how do we take care of our desires? How do we offer them to Krishna? Kama Krishna karma arpane. That desire means whatever desire we have, we find a way to offer that to Krishna. If I had, just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example here of business. So if I have a desire for business, maybe I can't just discuss it and give it up right away. When somebody discusses the disadvantages of wealth, you know, so many people from the time of Srila Prabhupada to now have sat in the Bhagavatam class and heard so many disadvantages of wealth. Yet, we keep doing it. Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Babar Juna Nirdvando Nityasatpusto Nir Yoga Kshema Atmava. That even within the three Vedas, Arjuna, there is talk of sense gratification. Therefore, one must elevate oneself beyond duality, beyond the Vedas, and be situated in the Supreme Absolute Truth, Nir Yoga Kshema Atmavan, understanding this principle, that it's very difficult to acquire something in this material world. It's even more difficult to preserve it. And of course, Krishna doesn't mention it, but we can, just following the progression, it's even more difficult to give it up. As Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a minister telling the king that even an old man does not give up his desire, lusty desire for the opposite sex. The king said, no, no, when one becomes old and body becomes useless, he must give it up. So the minister said, come, come, I'll take you. So he brought the king. I said, but bring your daughter, nice, beautiful princess. So they went, because this old man on his deathbed, and he said, now just watch the man when you walk by, and watch the man when his daughter walks by. So the king walked by, and the man just suffering. And then the beautiful daughter walks by, and the man is looking. So the king says, you're right. Up until the end. Unless we become attracted to Krishna, then these desires will follow us to the very end. So to give up something that we've acquired in this world is very, very, very difficult. So this envious nature, it's a very difficult thing to give up. It's actually the one thing that Narottam Das Thakur says you can't really offer to Krishna. You can offer your desires, you can offer your anger, krodha, bhakta dvishe jane. Whoever is envious of the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can use anger against that person. Just like if we see someone hurting a devotee or doing something against a devotee, we should become angry like fire. And lobha sadhu sange harikata. That we should be very greedy for associating with devotees and speaking harikata. And moha ishta labha vine. We should become illusion if somehow or another our worshipable deity is not there. Just like Lord Chaitanya says in his Shikshastikam, that yugayitam nimishena chakshusha papashayitam shunyayitam jagatsarvam govinda virahiname. That if I don't see Krishna before me, then just that one moment, whatever, one moment of not seeing Krishna is like a total devastation. Yugas and yugas. Total illusion. Everything is vacant. There's nothing. Nothing makes any sense. So this is the illusion that a devotee suffers if he can't be related to Krishna. And Mada Krishna Gunagane. One becomes maddened to have the association of Krishna, if one is actually situated in purity. Of course, Narottam Das Thakur is talking about, not about a new bhakta, but someone who's actually very fixed up in devotional service. That this is how we should express these things. We don't have to just let them manifest by some way, just and then it just gets us into trouble. And then discuss the disadvantages of accumulating wealth. So this is all through the Bhagavatam, all through the Bhagavad Gita. Just be happy, just be satisfied what comes of its own accord. And the Bhagavatam speaks again and again about, especially in the first canto, well, all through the Bhagavatam, about the disadvantages of wealth and so many problems that wealth can cause. Even Srila Prabhupada said so many times that even if we make $1 million today, we will spend it, and then tomorrow we see what Krishna gives. This is the attitude of a devotee. Of course, if you're running a temple, you can't think that way. You have to plan how things will happen. But even then, even if you're running a temple, generally something comes and we have to make sure there's some provision, and then we try to do a festival, do something that Krishna will be pleased, everyone will be pleased, Lord will be pleased more. This is disadvantages of accumulating wealth. Because once you accumulate it, it's very difficult. And immediately, as Srila Prabhupada gives the example here in the purport, immediately you're in anxiety. Just like sometimes we see, especially in third world countries, you see it here also, but you have to look for it more. Of course, the way the economy is going, maybe not so much. We see bums in the street, and they have no anxiety. No, they're not thinking someone will rob me, because they don't have anything. And also the great sages who lived in the forest, they had no fear, because they knew, well, I don't have anything. What can anybody do? What can anybody take? But as soon as you have some money, then immediately, more you have, more locks on the door, bigger fences, more security systems. So much anxiety that someone will come and take my wealth. And the last item, bhayam tattva avamarshanat. That when one discusses the truth, one will give up all fear. According to the Bhagavatam, that bhaya, fear, bhaya dvitiya vinivesita syat. That fear is caused by dvitiya avinivesita. Fear is caused by putting our faith in the secondary cause. The secondary cause, what is that? Maya. When we think that maya is the cause of everything, then we have anxiety and fear. Ishara petasya vivayo ashmiti. And we forget what is the real cause of everything, Krishna. Because Krishna is the real cause of everything. Then, if you understand that everything is happening by Krishna's desire, just like one name of Krishna, which is used several times in Bhagavad Gita, Achyuta. So if we really believe that Krishna is Achyuta, Krishna is infallible, then there is no fear. No, there's no anxiety. But if we doubt Krishna, just like this idea of determination or confidence in devotional service, as Rupa Goswami says, the principle, the utsahan nishtaya dharyat, that utsahan, having great enthusiasm in devotional service, which comes from associating with Vaishnavas. Nishchayat, confidence or determination. Determination actually comes from taking responsibility. Just like our determination, we take a vow, initiation, and then we have the determination to follow the four regulated principles because we promised the spiritual master. And we have the determination to chant 16 rounds every day because we promised. So I've seen many devotees, they're working hard, or they have so many things to do. At night, they're chanting their rounds, they're tired, they didn't have time to finish. Why do they do it? One could just say, oh, there's no time. No, I have to do this. I have that determination because I promised the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His representative, the spiritual master. And the more responsibilities we accept, the more determination in devotional service. Therefore, one receives instructions of the spiritual master from the Vaishnavas. Kadi Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavata Gita, these five sources of inspiration are what gives us determination in devotional service. If we hear regularly from the Shastra, from Lord Hari, if we hear from the spiritual master, from the Vaishnavas, from Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam every day, then we will have so much determination in our devotional service. But if we don't hear, then our determination will slowly dwindle and go away, and then we'll think, no, I have determination to serve my senses, because my senses have become my master. Just like Rupa Goswami says that kamadina kamina palita durnidesha, that I have become a servant of my senses, and tesham chatumai, that these senses are merciless, that they are they constantly are after me, and they give me no relief. Therefore, now that I found the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, I'm so happy, because I have become his servant and given up the service of my senses. So in each one of these cases, we can think of different devotees, different situations in our shastras that illustrate this. Just like making plans with determination, giving up lusty desires. We can see Jad Bharat. Jad Bharat, after being Bharat Maharaj and having some desire, developing desire and attachment for a deer, and then after leaving his body, taking a deer's body, he was born as Jad Bharat. And he decided, he made a plan from the very beginning. I am not going to do anything in this lifetime. I want to simply meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't want to do anything that will distract me from that duty, which is my only duty, which is the only thing to do in life. So he played like a dumb man. Everything his father would say, he would do the opposite. If he said sit down, he would stand up. If he said go here, he would go there. But father said, he's useless, just leave him alone. And he would sit and chant the holy name of the Lord and meditate on the Lord, very happy. And all through his life, and even in the most challenging moment with King Rahugana, he still acted like a fool, simply juggling the palanquin around. And then Rahugana challenged him, and he spoke the most eloquent, beautiful philosophy. And Rahugana became his disciple, surrendered to him. So this is a plan. Also, King Anga, he also made a plan. He had his illustrious son, King Vena. And then he began to consider this son is a complete idiot. It's a horrible son. And then he thought, he said, well, actually, it's better to have a bad son than a good son. Because if you have a good son, then you become attached to this world and you become concerned that he has to do this. And with a bad son, I can give up this world, go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you, my Lord. I renounce this life. Just go to the forest. So these are plans, how to give up sense gratification. And as far as krodha kama vibharjana, one giving up enviousness and conquering anger, we have Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj became so angry when his brother was killed by the Yakshas. He took his bow and arrow. He had a special arrow, the Narayan arrow, which could dissipate all illusion. And he fired that arrow. All the illusion of the Yakshas had put before him was dispelled. And he began to kill one Yaksha after another, after another, after another. And finally, Swayambhuva Manus, called out to him, said, stop. Only one Yaksha killed your brother. You're killing unlimited Yakshas. And then he preached to him about the difference of the body and the soul, and finally time and the three modes of nature are causing everything to happen, which are under the control of the Supreme Lord. And so you have to stop. And after hearing from Swayambhuva Manu, he said, yes, now I understand. And Swayambhuva said, now you go to the king of the Yakshas, Kuvera, who's become very upset. These are his descendants. No, you're disturbing the whole royal order in the heavenly planets. And when he gave up his anger and he became humble, then Kuvera said, yes, actually you should understand. Nobody kills and no one is killed. So he fully understood. So we can give up just by taking good counsel. Anger is something that comes very quickly. Just like in the case of Brahmaji. He became very angry when the Kumaras refused his order. He said, now you must get married. They said, no. Actually, it was a request, but it was a strong request. He said, no. This will cause so many problems in our life. We don't want to get married. He became so angry. In the Bhagavatam, it says that one cannot control anger with intelligence. And this is the example. From that anger, Lord Shiva was born. Because one can only control anger by giving up envy. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he prays to Lord Narsinghadev. He says, I can't remember the prayer in Sanskrit, but the prayer says that now may there be goodwill and blessings upon all living entities, and that the envious living entities can be calmed down and become peaceful. This can happen if everyone, if every living entity takes up devotional service, because by accepting devotional service, one simply thinks about the welfare of others, and thus envy is destroyed. So let devotional service to the transcendent Supreme Lord be the supreme activity. So this enviousness is such a big problem. And it can be controlled by devotional service. And then the disadvantage of accumulating wealth. I was thinking of the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. He was receiving unlimited wealth. But by the association of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he was using that wealth to sponsor festivals for the Supreme Lord. And then by contemplating, of course he actually contemplated within himself the disadvantages of having any wealth. The Lord said, I haven't seen Raghunath, there's no more festivals. Has he abandoned us? And no, he's standing by the Simhadwar doing Madhukari, because he decided that this wealth will be very contaminated, coming from materialistic persons like his uncle and his father. And then the Lord said, he's not at the Simhadwar anymore. He said, no, now Raghunath is standing behind the temple. And after the cow is finished taking the remnants that washes down from the Lord's offering, then he takes the rest. So just by contemplating the danger of any amount of wealth, Raghunath Das Goswami simply took a handful of remnants, of the remnants of the remnants, and took that as his daily fare. And bhayam, giving up fear by hearing the truth, we have the famous example of Arjuna. Arjuna was in anxiety. He was fearful that what will happen? What will happen to Bhishma? What will happen to Drona? How can I fight against them? What will happen? All these, he was filled with anxiety and fear. And Krishna explained the supreme truth of Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna was alleviated from all fear. So in the purport, I was just thinking of one thing just to conclude. I don't want to go on too long, but one humorous thing. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that if one cannot avoid seeing women, but actually there was one person who did avoid that, only one person, and he became so famous for it that he brought prosperity. There was one great king, Romapad. He was a great king at the time of Dasarath. He was friends with Dasarath, father of Lord Ramachandra. So all of the Brahmins from his kingdom had left because he cheated a Brahmin one time. There was an exchange of some diamonds, and he wanted to, he was supposed to give charity, so he took out one of the big diamonds and put in a little one. and gave it to the Brahmin. But the Brahmin, by his mystic power, said, no, you cheated me. Because of this, your land will be devoid of Brahmins. All the Brahmins went away. So he was suffering. There was no rainfall. So King Dasarath had given his daughter. So he went to an astrologer, and the astrologer said, the only way that you can get rainfall again is to marry your daughter to someone who has never seen a woman. He said, well, how can there be anyone who's never seen a woman? Everyone is born from a woman. How can you not see a woman? No, there's nobody like that. He said, yes, there's one person. No, Rishaya Shingha. No. Because he was born from the great sage Bibandika. Bibandika was born from Kasyapa Muni, from his mind, in his meditation on the sunshine. He was so powerful that he could burn everything. So he just decided to go to the forest and live out his life so that he wouldn't cause any disturbance. Nobody would disturb him. He wouldn't disturb anybody. But then Indra became envious. He's too powerful. It's like Indra always becomes envious. Somebody becomes too powerful. Even Prabhupada said, one time the devotees were complaining. They were saying, Srila Prabhupada, it's so cold out. We're trying to do Sankirtan. It's raining and it's cold. Why doesn't Indra help us? Prabhupada said, because you are devotees, you know, and you are doing Sankirtan, doing great sacrifice. Therefore, Indra may think you would take his post. Therefore, he will give you so many disturbances. So Indra's always got this problem. So Indra thought, I will send an apsara, but none of my apsaras can do this. Well, this has to be Brahma apsara. So he went to Brahma's planet very quickly because he was worried, if I stay too long, my kingdom will be over. So he said, Brahma, give me an apsara. So he gave one apsara Harsha. And on the way back from Brahmaloka, he explained what he wanted to do. But Harsha from Brahmaloka, she was just meditating, chanted Vedic mantras. I don't want to be married to anyone. I don't want to have anyone's children. No. So you've got to make him fall down. Well, he won't fall down. He's too... Well, anyway... Just make sure somehow or another he doesn't take away my kingdom. Okay. So she went there, started chanting Vedic mantras. The Vibandika was attracted by the mantras. And then when he came, she said, I chanted these mantras because I want you to give me a son. I don't want, forget it. No. Go chant your mantras somewhere. So finally, she convinced him that I must have a son. If not, I'm going to kill myself and you'll be guilty of Brahmahatya. So he said, okay. He just, by his will, he just produced his semen, he put it on the ground, he said, do what you want with it. I'm going away. So she didn't want to have a child, but she knew that this was so powerful it would burn the earth up. So she saw a deer, and she said, okay. She meditated, and the deer was impregnated, and the child was born, but with antlers. No. And so the deer said, what am I going to do with this child? No, it's a human. So the deer took the child to Vibandika. No. And Vibandika understood, this is my son, so I have to raise him. So he raised a child, never saw a woman, raised him to be a brahmacharya. So that was one case. No. Otherwise, everybody else can't avoid it. But we can avoid the attraction to the opposite sex by meditating on Krishna. No. Otherwise, it'll be very difficult, especially in Kali Yuga, to be another Rishaya Shringa. No, very difficult. Even if one maintains oneself in one's house, very difficult situation. So we should count on the process of devotional service, becoming very, very anxious to serve Krishna, and make that our life and soul, and then all these problems will be solved. I'll stop here. Any questions? Yeah.
My question is that in Bhagavad Gita we see that a Krishna instructs Arjuna not to renounce and go to the forest, but to take up pure devotional service by engaging everything in his service. Then we see in this example the six Goswamis, we gave the example of Raghunath Das Goswami, he was motivated by the association of Lord Chaitanya's associates and Lord Chaitanya to to renounce that wealth, to renounce his position, to renounce his beautiful wife, and to go so far as to just maintain his life by eating the garbage that was coming, the remnants of whatever coming from the kitchen at the back of the temple and washing it and eating it. So how are we supposed to justify, you know, and unify these concepts? One seems to be where complete renunciation is recommended. The other is engaging everything in Krishna service. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The example of Arjuna is for everybody. The example of Raghunath Das Goswami is for one who is very desirous, so desirous of prayojan. As Srila Prabhupada said, no one can imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. So we can never come, but we, Prabhupada said, this is the goal. It's like the Goswamis are our goal. No one can explain Shastra like Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami. No one can be so renounced as Raghunath. But they are the goal. Otherwise, by having a goal which is practically unattainable by us, we can always try to move forward a little more. We'll never become complacent. Because especially in Kali Yuga, and especially in Krishna consciousness, we live by the formula of Yukta Vairagya. But Yukta Vairagya is very difficult. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Yatarham Vayunjataha. It has to be done with great discrimination, great care. Because otherwise, we start justifying everything as Yukta Vairagya. I can enjoy this because I'm offering it to Krishna. So therefore, both things are there. Yes, take everything, but anasaktasya vishayan. With detachment, I can use it in Krishna's service. So therefore, the goal of the example, the extreme example of Raghunath Das is there so that we always keep going toward that goal. Just try to take another step toward that goal. Accumulating wealth, one thing is keeping a little something, aside. That's not really accumulating wealth. Accumulating wealth means greed, you know, I want more and more and more. Just to, Srila Prabhupada always said, keeping body and soul together. So a grihastha, because they have to maintain and provide for the family, and because they're, in most situations, they're not they may not be out preaching and you know, having people who support them. So naturally they have to make some provision. So therefore Srila Prabhupada gave the example of 50%. You give 50% to Krishna and you use 50% for taking care of yourself and your family. That was his formula. Of course, this society, unfortunately, is, especially this country, it's so difficult to even think about 50%. You know, trying to give 50% to Krishna. We have to figure out all kinds of different ways to make that work in our lives, how we interpret 50%. You know, it's the unfortunate thing. This modern society, consumer society, practically speaking, forces everyone to work harder and harder and make less and less. Just like we're seeing now in a very dramatic and graphic way, and the way the economy is going, and who knows what could happen. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, it makes what Srila Prabhupada indicated before more of a reality, that at least we should have some, you know, at least collectively we should have some land and some cows and some grains, because this, the whole thing, just like the gas price, you know, when I went to India, it was a month ago, it was like almost $4 a gallon, and now it's $2 a gallon. you know, just in 1 month. So arbitrary. In the same way, money can be worth so much because it's all paper or all just digits. It's not even paper anymore. Just some digits. You know? And all you could just, somebody moves the digits around and it's all gone. You know, in 1 day. I know I've been through a few depressions. I was in the, devaluations. When in Argentina, when like the Argentine peso went from, was like 6 pesos to a dollar to 1,000,000 pesos to a dollar in 1 day. And also in Mexico, the same thing happened in 1982. Just went from, like 12 pesos to a dollar to like, then it went to 300, then 1,600, then 3,000 in about 5 days. And we're all thinking, well, we have the dollar, so no. Now the dollar's being challenged. The dollar could any day just go, or the whole economy is all just manipulation. So actually, if we want to accumulate wealth in such a way that people can't take it, in this country it's very fortunate. You can actually buy some land and you can hold on to it. Like all of our congregations or something could get some land for security. And you can, but in other countries, if you buy some land and you don't use it, then immediately somebody will just come and squat on it. So these are things we have to think about when the economy becomes so weird. You know, Srila Prabhupada has indicated that we can't trust this system. We can only use it, whatever system's there, you use it as long as it's there. But we have to be intelligent enough to understand it may not be there for long. Any other questions?
Sometimes, in the Grihastha Ashram, our comfort zones sometimes become, we become so attached to being lazy that, and sometimes I feel, at least in my own, I feel that sometimes I just feel like I have to get away. Like I have to just make a break for it and take a long pilgrimage or something and try to become resituated in devotional service because it becomes so difficult and so, you know, just so caught up in the whole muck of work and this and, you know, doing the whole Grihastha Ashram program. Is that a proper way? I mean, you know, because sometimes you feel like, especially when you get older, you feel like, wow, you know, how much longer am I going to live? Is it a proper, you know, once you get into the 50s, should we consider, you know, taking vanaprastha and sannyas and actually becoming serious about those things that Prabhupada talks about in his book so much?
I don't want to get into trouble here. But Prabhupada did say that, you know, of course we should think about it, you know, but you can't do it just like Srila Prabhupada didn't take vanaprastha till he was in his late 50s because he wanted his sons to be grown up. So you have to do it responsibly. So even though Prabhupada, you know, said again and again 50 years, it's not like, you know, etched in stone that it must be 50, but at some point, you know, one should think about it. So one has to make plans and provisions for that to happen. And as far as getting away every once in a while, I remember one place where Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, one purport, that actually, you know, it's good for a grihastha to spend 4 months of the year separated from the family. I mean, this is like in the Vedic system, you know, when they could go on pilgrimage. Of course, the family would be taken. It's not like nowadays where your family, your wife is just somewhere. And, you know, in the Vedic system, there were aunts and uncles and grandparents all together. And so one could leave, you know, not like you left and the family's just sitting there with no income. Yeah. But, you know, that's ideal. And it's also, I just heard this morning, I was listening to a tape, and Srila Prabhupada said, he said, these fools, because they don't depend on the land, he said, when you depend on the land, you work 3 months, 4 months, then 8 months, you have free, go on pilgrimage. But they're working in the office every day. He said, therefore they are very foolish. So, of course, these things, they may seem extreme, But it's like to try to start to break us away from what we've been plugged into, and at least understand the ideal and try to work toward that ideal. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have agricultural communities, so we, you know, have to just break the mold a little bit and try to see why Srila Prabhupada said these things. You know, it's becoming more apparent day by day. Yeah. Yes, I was. Well, the last I heard, which was the day after I got 2 days ago. At first, you know, he's still in critical condition. He was in critical condition. He was starting to become more conscious. Then he had a kind of a decline for 2 days, two and a half, almost 3 days. Then he started becoming more conscious again. At least his blood pressure has been steady and everything. So actually yesterday I was feeling a little bad. Otherwise I was going to write to, I know I have one of the doctors, I'm in touch with one of the doctors, so I'll get a report today. I'll let you know. But at least the last I heard, he was starting to again have more consciousness, you know. But I mean, it's going to take a very long time. And it's just Krishna, because medically speaking, the doctor said there's not very much hope. But they were all amazed that so many things has happened. He's been able to move and open his eyes and recognize people. And they held the deities before him, and some tear came to his eyes. You know, so he's conscious. He's conscious, but he's not able to express his consciousness because the body is just, you know, being that blood, accumulated blood in the, what's it called, basal ganglia areas, just doesn't allow anything to happen. So definitely his recovery, we're all praying for his recovery, but it's probably going to take some time. And it's in the hands of Krishna. Any other question or comment?
Yeah. One time, Bhagavan Krishna Maharaj was discussing this with some of the devotees who were in Fiji about generally Indians, you know, it's the Fiji, those who are in business, they generally do well in their lives. They have the, like you said, the support system, the aunts and aunties, mm-hmm. and huge clan, and it's like, it's really enjoyable. Life is very enjoyable. It's hard for them to become renounced. And so, but they would find that when they grew older, the daughters-in-law, the son-in-laws, become a little acrid towards them, you know, and they feel very hurt that they worked so hard and they accumulated everything, and now the daughter-in-law came in and she's saying things to me that, you know, I feel like the earth would open up and I just get swallowed by this earth and die. You know? So he would tell them, actually, this is your disadvantage. He said, if you're in Hare Krishna, the advantage is if you're, even in family life, you can be preaching, and because you're preaching, people really appreciate you. They really like you because you're genuinely preaching for their spiritual benefit. And they get spiritual benefit, they can palpably feel it. Mm-hmm. And so they become very enthused by that. So when you get old, they will serve you because they'll, like, they want to look after you because you've helped them so much in their life. And there'll be youngsters and older people and all sorts of people who will be, you'll be preaching to, so there are all sorts of people around. And so you won't feel the effects of old age as much as when you're not in Hare Krishna and you don't preach and you don't have any real friends. These are all, like, you know, fair weather people. Like, because you're well off, we're well off, they're around you. The moment you get old and decrepit, now you can't do anything. Then they like to put you in an old people's home or put you into a room in a corner of the house and, you know, mm-hmm. just throw scraps at you and you just.
Yeah.
As Prabhupada says in the first canto, and at that time there was one Dhritarashtra, now there's one in every home. That's true, and also if you're preaching, then you'll probably give away some of your wealth to help the preaching movement, which will even make people more appreciative, except for maybe the daughter-in-law. that may be a hard conquest. But yes, that's true. Krishna consciousness makes everything sublime. Okay. So, thank you. Thank you very much. All glories to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. Antakoti Vaishnava Ki jai.